You're listening to a CKDU News Collective podcast. For more information, see news.ckdu.ca.
How big is this project relative to other public buildings that HRM has put up in the past, say, you know, 5 or 10 years?
At this point, this will be the largest single building construction project. We've had larger projects. For instance, the Harbor Solution project is significantly larger than this.
Right.
But in terms of municipal buildings, this will be the largest building that we have built, followed fairly closely by the Mainland Common or the Canada Games Center that's currently under construction at the Mainland Common.
Right. And what's the ballpark of that total envelope?
That one is roughly about $40
million. Okay. And this one we're looking at about 55?
In rough numbers, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so would 55 be sort of the biggest we've ever built, I guess, or?
I would offer that yes, certainly. Yeah. Even up to in prior amalgamation, there was nothing that would have that equivalent value, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess also given the location and also the nature of the public use of it, that it's kind of, you know, it's not, you know, municipal offices or something. This is like a sort of central downtown
public structure.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I've heard the project referred to as a generational building, meaning that it's something the likes of which won't get built for maybe another generation. Would you agree with that sort of label?
Well, I would offer that anything we build is of that nature. That typically any modern construction, with the exception of some utility buildings, we build with the notion that they have a lifespan of 25 to 50 years.
But what people might mean by generational building is that it's like something of that scale and prominence and sort of significance to the city might not happen for another generation.
Well, in terms of municipal buildings, it certainly is the largest thing that we have, that we currently have on our horizon, yes.
Yeah. Okay. There's a jury to sort of select the architect. Is that the case? And it's Judith Hare, Susan McLean, Andy Fillmore, and Terry Gallagher?
I think jury is probably not the word I would use.
Okay.
A jury is generally terminology that would be used in a design competition.
Okay.
There is an evaluation committee that is comprised of the names you've mentioned.
Okay.
And their job is to evaluate the submissions based on clearly outlined criteria that it was part of the proposal calls and determine who the highest scoring proponent is through that process.
How do you respond to the criticism that a project of a scale like this should involve more public input or more professional architectural input or both? I know that that's been discussed.
To date, there already has been some significant input, which most people seem to have forgotten, that about 2 years ago, and I don't have the exact timeline on that for you, but we did engage an architectural firm who carried out an extensive public consultation process, and that firm is called HOK. And they carried out an extensive public consultation process with meetings at the library and I believe other venues involving the downtown business community as well as the general public in trying to understand the type of building that the public was looking to have constructed, the kind of amenities and features that the users of the building were looking forward to. And that information was put together in what we call the building program. It did not involve design elements. Its intent was not to talk about the look of the building, but to talk about the content and the functionality of the building, the role that the building would serve in the community.
Right. So just to be clear, like a building program means you know, it lists things like we need, a classroom that can hold 50 people, and we need shelving that will, or where we need a room, climate controlled areas for archives, and we need XYZ. That
kind of stuff. It's fairly prescriptive in its nature. That's correct. Telling what functionality the building has to serve.
Right. And so that's like the public consultation was like to help come up with that, because obviously people would have lots of demands like, well, let's have a concert. Like, let's.
Absolutely. Lots of discussions around the nature of the space and the evolving role of library in the public community. Right. And because it's more than just a place to store books. And so a lot of those discussions have taken place. However, that is not the end of our public consultation process by any means. It allowed us to capture the general scale and functionality of the building. That information was passed on as part of our expression of interest to the consulting public, so that they would understand this is generally the nature of the project that you will be working on. Because libraries have different themes, and depending on where they are in the world, and not all libraries are alike. So we wanted to try and set the tone for the nature of the spaces and that the new library would house. So that information went out as part of our expression of interest, and the responses that came back, we were looking for some, germ of an idea from some of these proponents as to how well they understood that, mm-hmm. and how that, what that vision meant to them as design consultants.
Right. Was it an expression of interest that was called for, or was
Right.
it a request for qualifications? I'm not sure.
It was an expression of interest. It was an EOI that was issued.
And that was about 13 different architectural firms had replied to?
That's correct. That's what the 13 respondents replied to. That was issued in August of 2009.
Okay, and so of those 13, then four were shortlisted?
The
committee.
Evaluation committee went through two processes. As they read all of the proposals, they found that there was a significant gap between seven of the submissions and another six, that in terms of the quality of the submissions. They, on a pass-fail basis, they eliminated seven of those proposals as being not equal in quality to six of them. The remaining six, they did a scored evaluation based on the scoring that was outlined in the expression of interest, and from those six, Chef shortlisted four. Those four teams have subsequently been issued an RFP, a request for proposals, which is a more detailed description of what we are trying to achieve, and we are expecting in response back from them greater detail about the nature of their proposal, the composition of their team, their methodology for design, and their approach to the design. We are not looking for a design in itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do we judge that RFP, considering that, we've done some public consultations, so we have an idea of where at least the public has had their say, and we've kind of worked it out what the program for the building would be.
Yes.
How do we then decide what kind of design that people might like to see?
But again, we are not... Once we get through the evaluation process, again, we are not selecting a design. We are selecting a team.
Right, a designer, essentially.
It would be a design team.
Right. What are the criteria for selecting that design team?
Well, that that has been outlined in the RFP. There's a number of, and it's outlined very clearly in the RFP with respect to, and I believe that that is online. I don't have a copy of it in front of me, but the scoring criteria are outlined. So many points for the composition of the team, so many points for your approach, so many points for your fee proposal, and so on. And it's all outlined and scored. Mm-hmm. And scored relative to one another. And at the end of it, you come out with a highest scoring proponent. Mm-hmm. And that proponent is the one that we will award our contract to and start a new public consultation process that will speak to the specifics of the design of this building.
Okay, so the new architect will be the one undertaking that public consultation. But by the time that public consultation happens, the architect will be chosen.
That's correct.
Now, there's been some talk about the idea of a design competition or something whereby what's being sort of looked at and evaluated in a public consultation is basically actual designs, different designs design ideas that architectural firms have produced,
yeah,
based on a program for the building. So
that's correct. Now, one of
do we do that ever in HRM, or
pardon?
Do we ever do design competitions in HRM?
We are very seldom do we do them, and there was a design competition, for instance, for the Point Pleasant Park. Mm-hmm. The redesign of Point Pleasant Park after Hurricane Juan, that was actually funded by Mr. Spatz, and he donated the funds to the HRM to carry out the competition.
Right.
That had varying degrees of success. What got built ended up not being what was represented in the winning competition. Now, there are pros and cons to competitions. One of the significant things in opposition to a competition is, especially in a building like a library, where we understand there needs to be significant consultation, that in a design competition, you really don't have an opportunity for those various teams to truly engage in significant public consultation, nor do you have an opportunity for them to properly engage with the clients, the people who operate the building. You've sent them away to a competition and said, come back with some drawings.
Right. I guess in a competition, it would be sort of up to the city or the host of the competition to be doing that public consultation.
Yeah, but imagine trying to do that. So you've now got four possibly public consultation processes going on. It's trying to do this properly and effectively will require some significant effort. Mm. I can't imagine that it could be done properly. You could get four designs coming in, but I would argue they would not be designs that truly reflected a thorough public consultation process. And so you end up effectively setting either expectations, and one of the other shortfalls of competitions is because the process is fairly time-consuming for the consultant, it frequently doesn't have a great deal of adherence to a budget constraint. We're spending public money. We have a limited amount of public money to spend. $55 million sounds like a lot of money, but it can be spent fairly quickly if it's not spent properly. So you end up with designs coming back that potentially have set a public expectation far beyond what can be delivered with the real budget. And so that selection process of a design through a competition, again, prevents some challenges. We feel the best way to consult the public and the best way to make sure that they have a true opportunity to engage in the detail of the design process is to start with a single design team claim and to move forward from there, making sure that you've gone through a reasonable process to select that final design team. And we don't feel that it is necessary to get to that point through a competition or through a design competition.
Mm-hmm. What are the advantages of a design competition?
Well, you certainly create a great deal of excitement. You know, the competitions tend to become very exciting events. Sometimes they become an event in and of themselves mm-hmm. that don't necessarily add specific value to the end product. Mm-hmm. Again, one of the risks that you end up with a lot of time and effort that has to be paid for a number of firms, and at the end you wipe it off the table and you start over again. That's not a productive way to spend public funds.
Has HRM ever engaged a public consultation that wasn't fund, like for example, not the Point Pleasant Park that was funded by a private party?
No. But we have funded public consultation. We have a public consultation policy
right.
that we do public consultation all the time. Mm-hmm. There are ways to do public consultation that doesn't involve a competition.
Right. Mm-hmm. Although I guess, from what I understand, architectural competitions, it has a way of saying that this building is going to be sort of world class in terms of architectural design.
There are many world class buildings that have been built without a competition.
Right. Yeah.
In fact, I would argue the vast majority of public of significant buildings are built without a competition right. process.
Is it fair to say that probably HRM at this point, like, we won't be doing any design competitions for buildings? Like, that's just not the way we do it here?
That's typically not the way we operate. At this point, we feel that we can deliver the best value to the public through and high-quality value to the public through methodology other than design competitions for buildings.
All right. Anything else you wanted to add about the process here or the building?
Well, I think, you know, the process that we are talking about is a very normal process. Now, there are some who are arguing that this isn't a normal building, but the process works around the world for as a transparent process to evaluate consultant skills and balanced against consultant costs and arrive at a highly qualified team to deliver a high quality building. This is not the unusual process. This is the normal process.
Right. Okay. Although design competitions also happen
around the world. They absolutely do.
Yeah.
But if you look at the percentage, or if you were to look at the number of buildings that are delivered mm-hmm. through design competition compared to the number of buildings that are delivered through the process mm-hmm. I've just described to you, you would find it to be a fairly small percentage that
right.
is actually delivered through design competitions.
Yeah. I guess it's usually reserved for sort of flagship things or special cases.
But another exercise that would be worthwhile would be to look at the results of design competitions and look at the final product that's delivered and see in how many cases those really don't compare.
Mm-hmm.
That the competition, as I said before, the competition sometimes becomes an event in and of itself. And when the reality of having to deliver a project that is going to be built and has to be built on schedule and on budget, frequently the concept of the design starts to fade very quickly.
Right.
One of the challenges around that is when you have awarded that, you have set up a public expectation that that's what's going to be built, as unrealistic as it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes, so you're constantly then dealing with trying to correct or trying to apologize for a public expectation that never should have been set in the first place. We think we are better off starting with the blank sheet with the general public and working with them to build the design rather than presenting them with a series of designs and then having to modify those to meet their needs.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for your time.
Not a problem. Philip.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.